You're listening to Vatican Radio. The Gospel Beyond the Great Wall is the title of a book exploring the many challenges facing the Church in China today. Its author, Hong Kong-born Kim Shung Chiaretto Yan, belongs to a small Christian community and works as a teacher in seminaries and colleges in Beijing and Shanghai. He believes there's been substantial progress made recently in the difficult relationship between China and the Holy See. He also expects there may be further developments within this Year of Mercy that can overcome tensions between members of the official and so-called underground churches in China. Chiaretto recently attended a Hong Kong international conference organized by the Ecclesiological Investigations Research Network focused on the future of Christianity in China. I talked to him on the sidelines of the meeting to find out more about his hopes and expectations.
I personally feel very much that the church in China nowadays somehow is still quite traditional in the sense that because of historical reasons, for example, Vatican II, the Chinese church actually missed the period of Vatican II. In the year 60s, it was the Cultural Revolution. Of course, a lot of changes has happened after that. In the 80s, the churches were reopened in China. But then somehow it's still the church in China, Catholic Church is still quite traditional, but I think we, like a group like us, can, since we are lay people, we are free to move and we have a work of our own and we are inserted in the society, and especially because we especially want to present Christianity as a way of life, as spirituality. Spirituality emphasizes on dialogue, on love of neighbors.
Yeah. And yet you say the church is quite closed, quite conservative, quite traditional.
Yeah.
How is this message received by people in China today?
Yeah, on one side, there are Catholics who have been Catholics for generations, and they have preserved their faith. On the other hand, there are also people who are newly converts, maybe through their friends, they get to know the Christianity, they enter the church. And how do they perceive this way of life, of emphasizing on living the gospel, basing on not just defending an old tradition, but this love of neighbors, to the sense of belonging to a group, to share a common faith, and because of historical circumstances, as you said, the underground church, the official registered church, there are mistrusts of the past. Then somehow, the fact that we promote a spirit of understanding, of dialogue, this help certain prejudices, previous prejudices somehow drop off. Because in a way, in the spirit of our group, we also emphasize very much on a dialogue, kind of on 360 degree, in the sense that with all kinds of people within the church, also the relationship with non-Christians. So with this attitude, anybody that we approach with this openness, it really helped. And some, as I said, I've been having contact with many people and visiting groups. And in recent years, since I'm in the academic field, I also give lessons in seminaries. And sometimes the reception I receive is that not only, in the seminary, the seminarians, some told me, we priests, we need this kind of spirit, the spirit of communion, the spirituality of communion, which is a necessity in China. So with this positive approach, to give positive energy to the church, to the society, that's our characteristic, our job, what we should do at this moment in time in China, which is something really necessary at this moment.
What would you see as the biggest obstacles, the biggest challenges? Because we hear a lot about the difficulties of being a faithful Christian Catholic in China today.
Well, the biggest challenge, I think, as I've mentioned, really to go beyond. Because I think the atmosphere, especially with the election of Pope Francis, also the image of the Catholic Church has become, of course, there are many controversy issues to be settled. But the general atmosphere has improved. And I think the difficulties, there are always difficulties, you know, of the past, of the memory of the past, and or mistrust. But I'm convinced that we should go beyond, you know, especially this year, that is the year of mercy. I think it doesn't happen by chance. Nothing happened by chance. That with this year of mercy, if we really try to live out this mercy, you know, it's not just something symbolic going past through the door of the gate of the of mercy, but really to be forgetful, to look at other people with new eyes, then I think things will change for the better.
There are many people here who hope that during this year of mercy there will be an important development, a breakthrough even, in relations between the Vatican with Pope Francis and the Chinese leadership, the government. Do you think that will happen?
I mean, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Something has to happen, you know? Even by little steps, it's enough to take the first step. The fact that, as we know from the news, there are certain dialogue ongoing. And I believe that even with little steps, you know, it's enough to make the first step, then we don't stop there. And little by little, we can overcome and improve the relationship.
What are the most important first steps? It's necessary for the Vatican to recognize the bishops who have been appointed by the government, by the official church in China. Is that what reaction would be to that, do you think, if that does happen?
First of all, to have a certain agreement for the future, first of all, no? That there should be common understanding for future nominations. I think they are working on that. And then issues of the past, no, can be resolved with this goodwill, with this mutual trust, no, with goodwill gestures. I think, of course, the nature of the church has to be preserved. You know, there should be nomination coming from the Holy See, from the Pope. The way the formula has to be worked out. There are specific people who do that, you know? And I think we should trust the Holy See. In a way, you know, they know the limits and what can be done, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, to be guided by the Holy Spirit, if you may say. You know?
But do you see the Chinese government ready to make this agreement, to make these goodwill gestures, to make these steps towards an agreement, if you like?
Well, it really challenges our wisdom of people, no? Of the Vatican officials as well as the Chinese authority. Of course, the sovereignty issue is quite tricky. But I think what the Chinese government most concerned of is political sovereignty, no? And I think more and more Chinese authority also realize that the Catholic Church, in a certain sense, has its tradition, the universality of the Church. So certain thing has to be distinguished. The political aspect and the religious aspect should be well distinguished, defined, and to find a formula, you know, which can be worked out.
But you believe there is a move towards greater understanding in this area?
I think so, because Chinese in general are quite pragmatic. I think there's a certain goodwill from both sides. In fact, also many statements from foreign ministry regarding relationship with Vatican has, I think the whole tune has changed somehow, no? Previous cliché, you know, about saying that about the Taiwan issue or the nomination of bishops issue, somehow the wordings, I don't know if you have noticed, have changed, no? And repeatedly, the spokesman of the Chinese authority said that positive efforts have been made, you know, in this direction of normalizing relationship with the Vatican, and they expect also the Vatican side do the same and to be more flexible, terms like that. I mean, the atmosphere has changed, the wordings have changed. There's a certain goodwill, but of course, because of difference of culture, different traditions, it's not easy. That's why we say we need to ask for, to pray for certain wisdom as well, not to sort this thing out.
My thanks to Kin Shung Kyereto Yan, author of The Gospel Beyond the Great Wall.